Amen. Thank you, Jim, for that beautiful opening to our service. And good morning, TAB community. This is the day that God is making. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day of new mercy and care and love that God is pouring out onto our lives. And so let us embrace that and share that mercy and love with each other. I am glad to welcome you to this time of worship. If you're here for the first time joining us virtually in this service, we're glad that you're here. And if you'd like to let us know that you're here, we would love to hear from you. You can either share your name in the chat box with us right now and let us know you're here, or you can email me directly at tabunitedpastor@gmail.com. And that email address is in front of you on the screen. We would love to know that you're here and that you're worshiping with us this morning. I have just a few announcements to share with us. So let me just highlight those. First of all, I want to share that today is Communion Sunday. And for communion, what we've been doing is just hosting communion in our own homes. So if you would like to participate, you can use any elements, really. If you have bread or juice, wine, water or crackers, any kind of element that can be symbolic to you of the Lord's Supper, you are welcome to participate. We know and remember that Jesus and God meet us where we are and in our homes. So I invite you to prepare those things and have them with you as we will engage and then have communion later on in the service. A couple other things to highlight. First, I wanted to give thanks and celebrate that the Thompson family has moved into Tabernacle and this family has taken sanctuary at Tabernacle. This happened earlier this week on Monday, and I know because it's a strange time and we're not gathering in person, it feels in some ways very anticlimactic. We've been preparing for this time and doing a lot of work in the building, and I want to give thanks for everyone who's been helping with the building projects and work that's gone into that, especially Susan Wargo, who's been the organizer extraordinaire to get all this work done. So I want to thank you for all your work. And now they are here. The Thompson family is here. And they are doing pretty well and are getting just settling into the space. There will be more work ahead, and we are going to be keeping you informed on some next steps now that they are here with us. A couple things just to keep in mind is we will have a time to welcome them and have a blessing time and hear from them actually in worship in our virtual service. But because we've had internet problems at the church, we have to wait until they have good reception so they can join us in Zoom worship. So we will let you know when that happens, and we look forward to having them join us so that we can meet them and hear a little bit from them. There will also be some other things coming up. We're going to be doing anti-racism training with New Sanctuary Movement, as well as a Know Your Rights training in case ICE were to ever come to our building. These are all things that we invite you to participate in if you'd like to be a part of that. And we're also going to be organizing an event at TAB that will be more of a public event. We'll be socially distant, but we will be in person. And we're going to have more of a public event, raising awareness of their case and doing a kind of official sanctuary event at TAB. So all of this stuff, we will keep you informed. But for now, just wanted to let everyone know that they're here and to also contact Susan or me if you would like to be involved in any particular way. Susan Wargo's email is stwargo@gmail.com. So you can let her know. You can also let me know if you'd like to be more deeply involved with this. And now I'm going to hand it over to Lucinda just for a moment for another announcement.
Hi, good morning, church. I just wanted to give a brief update about the White Caucus group. We met just last week, and because of different calendar things, we're actually meeting again next week. So because of the tight turnaround, you haven't gotten your materials yet. Please look for them in your email, probably on Wednesday. There will be just one or two things to read or listen to, and a few questions to journal about and think about and pray about before we meet again next Sunday. So mark your calendar for next Sunday, but also look out for materials in your email, and please make time to read and listen to them during the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, before we meet on Sunday. Thank you.
Thanks, Lucinda. And for those of you, if there's any new folks here, we do have a couple caucus groups going on now that meet the second Sunday of the month, a BIPOC caucus for Black Indigenous people of color, and a White Caucus group. So if you're interested again in getting involved, let us know. We're meeting now the second Sunday of every month. So we're going to continue now in our time of worship. Let us open our hearts and minds to God's movement and the Spirit in our midst, and let's call ourselves to worship.
O people of God, open your eyes. Look around. The presence of our Lord Jesus Christ is here among us and within us.
God's salvation is close at hand, nearer than you know.
So open your hearts and minds to the Spirit, and let's worship God together.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And I invite you to join me in singing some songs of praise and worship this morning, starting with O Healing River. This is a song that I grew up with and that I always return to when I'm in need of healing and when I want this music to wash over me. So I hope that it can wash over you this morning as you sing along or just listen.
Healing river, send down your waters, send down your waters upon this land. Oh, healing river, send down your waters and wash the blood from off the sand. This land is parching, this land is burning, no seed is growing in the barren ground. Oh, healing river, send down your waters. Oh, 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 healing river, send your waters down. Let the seed of freedom awake and flourish. Let the deep roots nourish. Let the tall stalks rise. Oh, healing river, send down your waters. Oh, healing river, from out of the skies.
This morning, I'm going to give thanks for Marquise, who brought this song to us. Lord, I need you. Let's sing together. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Amen.
God of justice, peace, and righteousness, come into our midst this morning. Breathe your breath, your spirit of prophecy, your energy, your enlivening, your imagination on us. Wake us up, open our eyes, unplug our ears, that we might hear, that we might see, that we might grieve, that we might dream, that we might follow the ways of your extraordinary kingdom. Amen. And our prayer of confession. Here, poem meets prayer. We are exceedingly comfortable with posturing and self-defense that masquerade as apology. But what's needed this moment is unmixed confession of our nation's sin, deep and indefensible. Now I lay me down to sleep, must make way for something more muscular. Sackcloth and ashes, prayer and fasting, naked prostration. Daniel understood radical repentance begins with this unvarnished profession. You are righteous and we are not. Please heal our nation. Cleanse our stubborn hearts. Show each of us what part to play. Broken as Judah and Jerusalem, we cry and come bending our will toward the good, your dream for us still, no matter our sin, no matter what skin we're in. Amen. When we acknowledge the harm we've done and take steps to repair it, God is right there among us, working out our salvation. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Because Jesus sets us free, I invite you to sing a song of praise with me this morning. Jesus, we lift your name on high. Be lifted.
Jesus, we lift your name on high, your name on high, be lifted high. Jesus, we lift your name on high, your name on high, be lifted 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 high in all the earth, be lifted high, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high in all the earth. Cristo tu nombre alabaré, alabaré, te alabaré. Cristo tu nombre alabaré, alabaré, te alabaré. Alabaré, 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 tu nombre alabaré. Alabaré, 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 tu nombre alabaré. Jesus, we lift your name on high, your name on high, be lifted high.
Because Jesus sets us free and gives us the peace that passes all understanding, let us receive that peace and share it with all of us and each other. So you can now unmute yourself and let us pass the peace of Christ.
Our furniture still hasn't arrived. We're expecting
you to be part of this. We are.
Peace.
Good morning.
Everything we've got.
Peace with you.
Good morning.
Peace
with you.
Put away to the extent possible until our furniture gets here.
Verona.
Yeah. Hi, Verona.
This one?
Yes.
Here we go.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Hi, Mike. Good to see you.
Oh, okay. Glad to see me. My laptop audio isn't working, so I'm using my cell phone, and it's kind of messy.
We can hear you.
We can hear you. We can hear you.
Hello, Chris's mother.
Good morning.
Welcome. Welcome to New Jersey.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wonderful. Someone's masquerading as Leah. Now I see her.
Hello, Angela.
Hello.
Hi, Angela.
Scott Fothig, welcome. Good to see you. Peace.
And there's Nicole and Elliot. Hi.
Hi, Anna and Gina, Antonio. It's good to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Eloise and Dick. Hello, hello.
Hi, Carol and Paige.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
Look at all those people.
Peace of Christ.
Rosa, Levi, Jennifer, Laura.
Yeah, do it again. Oh, yeah.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Anna, Gina. Good to see you this morning.
All these people.
Hallelujah.
Seeing ourselves, right? Right.
This is the time in our service where we invite the children and the young at heart to come closer to the screen to hear the children's time. Let's sing together.
Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, come as a child, oh come and see.
Good morning, church, and good morning to the young and the young at heart. Today, we're going to talk about love, and I think you know a symbol of love. I don't know if it's easy to see that. Robert, what shape is this rock? Yeah, a heart. And we use hearts. Right? We use hearts to show, a symbol of love. But our real heart is actually also a pretty good symbol of love. Here's a picture of our real heart. And I love this idea too, that our real heart is a symbol of love. And our real heart is a symbol of love for two reasons, I think. Because it gives us what we need, right? We need oxygen to live, right? We need nutrients. It gives us what we need. And it connects our whole body, right? Every part of our body is connected to our heart. And so I just think that's really important to remember. The Bible tells us that God is love. The Bible tells us that God is love, and when we know love, we know God, and when we know God, we know love. And a lot of people spend a lot of time thinking about what is love. Well, love is a lot of things. Sometimes love is something we feel, and sometimes love is something we do. Yeah, and love is sometimes something complicated that we do, like how a lot of people took time to get our church ready for people to live there, right? Because people are living at our church now, so they can be safe. And that took a lot of love, and it took a lot of time. But sometimes love is simple, like sending someone a card or drawing them a picture. And we are asking for that kind of love this fall. We are wondering if there are some grown-ups in the congregation who would like to write letters or draw pictures and send some love to our children so that we can stay connected in our church. And then the children will write letters or draw pictures back to the grown-ups. So if you might be interested in being a pen pal, if you're a grown-up listening to this, and you might be interested in being a pen pal, please email me. You'll see an email coming from me. And if you're not on our church email list, you can just put it in the chat like Buki did. we would be looking for some grown-ups to help our children to stay connected, to help our community it, with big and small acts of love. You can pray after me. Are you ready? God, thank you for loving us. Can you repeat after me? God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us. I love you.
And thank you for showing us how to love each other. Amen. Amen.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
This morning I thought of another song that I grew up with, Will You Let Me Be Your Servant? And there are a number of verses, so if you aren't familiar with this song, I think you'll learn it as we sing it. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you.
Today's scripture reading is from the letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the Torah. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fullness of the Torah. Besides this, you know the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first came to trust. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. So let us put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and envy. Instead, put on the Lord Messiah Yeshua and stop making provisions for the flesh and for its cravings. Here ends the reading. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jim. Let us pray together. God, be with us in this moment. We know you are already here in our homes. You are here. God, may we be aware of your presence. And God, we ask that you would open our ears to your word, and may we respond to that word. God, I ask that you would now speak through me, and that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Love, 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 love. Love is such a frustrating word to me. It's frustrating to me because though the word love is so foundational to the Christian faith and is at the heart of Torah and Judaism, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It's the heart of the commandments, the heart of our faith. And yet the word love doesn't really mean much in English the way we use the word love today, or it means it's so watered down that we don't really know what it means. You can use the word love to express feelings you have for your cell phone, for a new app that you just got on your cell phone that you're excited about. You can use the word love to talk about your favorite flavor of ice cream. You can say, I love my car. In fact, love is apparently what makes a Subaru, as the commercial goes. When we watch a romantic movie, there is that moment between two lovers' eyes where that declaration comes forth. I love you. And you know that it's different, probably, than the way they feel about ice cream. But you still use the same word to express that deep emotion. It's such a frustrating thing to me. That word love can be so whatever. And not only that, but these few examples that I've given about the popular use of the word love, it just shows how much also we associate love with feelings, with affection, with gentleness, excitement, inspiration. And that is good. That is actually an aspect of love. It's a beautiful part of love. We couldn't survive or thrive without those good feelings and without that part of love. But it's only a small part of what radical love is all about. And when I say radical, I mean it in the real way that radical comes, which is the rootedness of it, the root of that. Love that is deep and rooted is not based in how we feel about others or creation in any given moment. My grandmother just turned 95 in August, and she only recently, actually just this past year, retired from her job as an organist at a Presbyterian church in Florida. She, I remember asking her a few years back, because she played at many, many weddings throughout her career. And I remember asking her a few years back if she enjoyed playing weddings. And I remember her response, it wasn't yes or no, it was this sigh. And she sighed and she said, "Oh, I look at those young couples walking down the aisle and I think they have no idea what they're getting into." That was her response to me in terms of when I asked her if she enjoyed playing at weddings. And she knew from her own life, she knows from her own life, that the real hard work of love begins as we share life more deeply in its messiness, in its pain, in its disappointments, in all the mundane everyday stuff of life. So what is the context and meaning of love as we understand it in our life of faith, and specifically here in this passage in Romans? Because we're back in Romans this week. We're picking up from last week where Paul is talking about some of the characteristics of Christian identity in community. And he uses the word love to get to the heart of the matter. He says, "Owe no one anything. Don't owe anyone anything except to love them, to love one another. That's your only debt. It's your non-negotiable. This is so important." But right away, because we're so confused about what love means and the guidance we get from our mainstream culture is not helpful, we need to ask, what does this mean? What does it mean in this context? What does it mean in this particular time that we're in? Paul does give some context which helps, and note that most of his examples, when he talks about love, go way beyond feelings. He talks about some basics from the commandments first, that love does not kill, that love does not steal, that love does no wrong to a neighbor. Now we start to see some flesh and bone put on the word love. Think about the demand alone from the commandments. Think about the command, do not kill, or do not steal. How are we killing people today? Which bodies are most at risk of losing life? How are we participants in the killing of people, even if we wish we weren't? All of a sudden, love means something kind of more concrete. And it is about protecting and prioritizing the safety of bodies who are at greatest risk. I think about the Thompson family who just moved into Sanctuary at TAP. Their family is under attack for being Black and immigrant in this country. How do we prioritize their safety under a government and a culture that seeks to kill and destroy people like them? And then Paul reminds us that to love God and neighbor is to refrain from stealing. That goes pretty radical too, if you think about it, because the land I live on, the land upon which our physical church building rests, is stolen land. I benefit from interest rates in my bank in a capitalist system that is based on the enslavement of African peoples who were stolen from their land. And so now, all of a sudden, far from sentimental feelings, love has become a deep and radical action word. Because if love means do not steal, then if you have stolen already and are benefiting from what was stolen, then love means you're going to need to work to right some of that wrong. Love isn't just about recognizing the problem of killing or stealing. Love is about going further than that. It's easy enough to name the damage, it's much harder to repair it. And love, as we see here in Paul's short words based in the commandments, love goes farther than the recognition of damage. Love seeks to repair. It has to do with the process of redeeming, repairing, and righting wrongs. Love is an action word. It's connected to justice. In fact, it's like Cornel West said so poignantly, justice is what love looks like in public. Justice is what love looks like in public. And so now we're getting to the gospel understanding of love, rooted in the Hebrew scriptures, rooted in the action, in fact, of the Hebrew midwives who Lucinda talked about just a couple weeks ago, midwives who disobeyed the king's killing orders for the sake of love, for the sake of life. Love does not kill. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. What does it mean to say love does no wrong to a neighbor? What does that mean when our trans siblings are murdered and dismembered, as in the case of Dominique Remy Fells here in Philadelphia? How do we provide safety? How do we prioritize the safety and well-being of our trans siblings? What does it mean to say love your neighbor as yourself in this Black Lives Matter movement and moment in our culture as we grapple with old demonic sin against Black humanity? Love is not a sappy feeling. Love is the action of protecting, of protest, of repairing, of righting wrongs. And love says, as I already said, it goes beyond recognizing the wrong. It goes further than the sorrow of recognition. It says, I'll work to repair and get things a little more right. There are, thankfully, three different words for love in Greek, which is helpful to remember. We don't have as much of that diversity in our understanding in the English language. But eros is one, philia is another, and agape is the third. Eros is a kind of aesthetic romantic love, the yearning of the soul to connect with the divine. Some of the most beautiful aspects of love come from that understanding of eros. There's philia, which is another word for love that expresses intimacy between friends. This is also a beautiful form of love. It's the kind of love you have for people you like, people you get along with and with whom you share rest and ease and affection and warmth. And then there is agape love. And agape love is the love that I'm here speaking about. It is the word that Paul uses here in Romans, and it's that hardcore part of love. It demands the most work from us. Agape love is the word that is most often used to talk about God's love for humanity. It's more than romantic love. It's more than friendship love. It's not based in feeling. It's based in actions that are repairing and working for the well-being of the other and of creation. In 1967, Dr. King gave a sermon on Christmas Eve where he spoke about these three forms of love. And he talked about the meaning of agape love, and he defined agape love in his sermon as understanding, creative, redemptive will toward all people. He said this in his sermon, and I'm quoting him now. Agape love is an overflowing love which seeks nothing in return. Theologians would say that it is the love of God operating in the human heart. When you rise to love on this level, you love people not because you like them, not because their ways appeal to you, but you love them because God loves them. This is what Jesus meant when he said, love your enemies. I'm happy that God didn't say, like your enemies, because there are some people I find pretty difficult to like. Liking is an affectionate emotion, and I can't like anybody who would bomb my home. I can't like anyone who threatens to kill me day in and day out. End quote. We can't control how we feel about various people. but we can ask ourselves daily, what is the work of love that I must do today? Where do I sink my feet into the work of understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill towards others and creation? The people in your life, the people you know intimately, and the people you don't know intimately, will be affected by your response to that question. The earth itself will be affected by your response to that question. After Paul speaks about these non-negotiable, hardcore parts of our life of faith, love, he puts a motivational zinger in at the end and says, don't go to sleep right now. Right now, it's daytime. It's time to do the work of love again. Salvation, which is also to say liberation, is nearer to us now than when we first believed, he says. In other words, the work of love is urgent. Cast off the garments of evil, the ways of killing and stealing and jealousy and greed. Take those clothes off and clothe yourself instead with the Lord Jesus Christ, is the imagery he uses. The Lord Jesus Christ, who made agape love his aim, and now we must make agape love our aim. Love is to act to protect valuable life. It's to act in protest of the killing of Black and Brown and Indigenous life and the killing of non-human species too. To protest is to love, to repair is to love, to not like someone and still work for their well-being, that is love. Let's not allow our culture's watering down of that word, love, distract us from the deep call to love that God has placed before us. People will often say love is the answer. And I believe that. I believe that. But the tricky part is we need to understand what that means, what that love demand is actually, and what that call is actually on our lives individually and as a community. We need to remember that love is a dirty word in the sense that of being in the dirt. Love asks us to go deep and into the dirt and asks us what's wrong here underground. And then as we're willing to stare that wrong in the face to say, I'm going to go further. I'm going to be a part of the movement to right what is wrong. Friends, this August month has been hot. And it's now behind us. August was a month of slump and grump for me. I just want to say that out loud. I know that there's a time for grumpiness. There's a time for slump. But what I hear the Spirit saying here and through Paul's words is I need to come out of that grump and slump. We are marching toward an election. We are afraid of what will happen. We don't know what will happen, but we do know what time it is. And that time is, it's daytime. The time is now to love. And that non-negotiable call is to love. So can we receive that call to awake from our sleep and grump and slump, if that's where you've been, like I have been, to put on the garments of love, to put on the armor of love. We're going to need it. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ daily. We are nearer to liberation and salvation than where we've been before. So let's keep moving together. Amen. Amen.
Don't be afraid.
My love is stronger, and I have promised to be always near. Don't be afraid, my love is stronger, my love is stronger than stronger, and I have promised to be always near. For those of us who are object-based thinkers like myself, we are grateful for the way to help in concrete ways. And one of those ways is each week when we deliver our offerings. We trust that our gifts of whatever size will be joined together and can accomplish great things. To give electronically, you can text any amount to 84321, or you could visit our website, tabernacleunited.churchcenter.com/giving, and make a donation. And in both cases, I believe you, if you have the option, if you can say whether this was a pledge or whether a visitor donation or what it's being given to, so that we will know how to direct it. Thank you. Let us now give our morning offering. It matters to me that Jesus was born. He entered the world as a little child. It matters to me that Jesus taught. He ate with the sinner and the defiled. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus hears us. Does he know our pain? Yes, Jesus knows. Jesus knows. He lived and died upon the earth, and from suffering he arose. Yes, Jesus knows. Jesus knows. And he's calling us to live again. Amen. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. It matters to me that Jesus lived. He walked the earth, the path that we trod. It matters to me that Jesus doubted on the cross. When I wonder if Jesus hears us, my soul sings this reply. Yes, Jesus knows, Jesus knows. He lived and died upon the earth, and from suffering he arose. Yes, Jesus knows, Jesus knows. Calling us to live again. Amen. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen.
We dedicate these offerings to the work of the church and to God's greater purpose. Amen.
Amen. This is the time in our service where we open up the space and specifically the chat function right now to for prayer time. So if you are new to the service, visiting for the first time, or are just kind of getting a sense of what we do here in the space, you are now welcome to share a prayer concern through the group chat feature here. And in just a moment, Lucinda will be reading those prayers that come in. So you are welcome to do that now and share any joys, struggles, or other prayer concerns that you have before God and also before us in this community. And we, as an act of love, loving each other, we pray. We lift up one another's burdens. We share in one another's sorrows and joys. And that is what we do. That's part of our work of love. So as we enter into this time of prayer, let's remember that. Every prayer that comes in, we honor and lift up with you. And so let us share now what's on our heart. And we'll take just a few moments as the prayers come in, and then Lucinda will read them out loud. Let's share what prayers are on our hearts this morning.
From Jim Gerhard, prayers for Helen Mahey's niece and her husband who lives in California and lost their home to fire. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I want to take this time to ask for prayers for a new family. In my school, I teach students who are new to the United States and who are learning English. And I didn't think I would have any new students this year, but I just got twin boys who have recently come from Afghanistan. They are refugees and their family arrived at the beginning of August. And I just can't imagine what it must be like to be new to the United States during this time and what it must be like to learn English on the computer. So I just ask for your prayers for this family and also for me, that I can be a source of comfort and support through the Zoom. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Eli, prayers for Howard Lang, diagnosed with leukemia in the hospital in Texas. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Jean and Amy, rejoice with us. Today is the 5th anniversary of our legal marriage as we celebrate 40 years of love. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Nicole and Elliot, prayers for all young people trying to learn and teachers trying to spark learning in these unusual times. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Chris Purdom, prayers for those who were protesting with direct confrontation, police violence in DC, Rochester, and LA last night. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Leah, who I think is Verona, please pray for Sam, who is at Jefferson University and will be starting and will be tested for COVID next week. Also pray for Leah, who is starting 10th grade virtually next week. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gina, prayers for Anna and Antonio, both starting school this week. Seminary for one, first grade for the other. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Vic, for wisdom, agape, courage to understand what actions to take on behalf of our democracy and the welfare of everyone during this time of chaos in the nation. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, please protect our children from, this is from Dick Fernandez. Lord, please protect our children from the influence of this president, whom I love. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Carolyn Page, Ron and I are grateful to have arrived in New Jersey, thankful for traveling mercies. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Jennifer, prayers for peace and healing for our family as we celebrate the life of Leroy Jordan, who passed away yesterday. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Laura, prayers for our dad, Leroy, who peacefully gained his wings and arrived in heaven yesterday morning. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Megan Gibson, prayers of comfort to Laura and Jennifer and their family as they celebrate the life of their father, Leroy. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Verona, please pray for my mother-in-law who is continuing to have a hard time being isolated from family. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Thank you for to all of you who shared what's on your heart. I also just want to take a moment to acknowledge the gift of Leroy Jordan and his presence with us here in very recently, just in our worship gatherings here on Zoom, and the life of this community. What a blessing and a powerful presence he was to us. And so we just want to acknowledge him and his life and legacy and beauty that he brought to us and also to so many and to his family. So we give thanks for all of these prayers, and we continue to hold them up and to lift each other up in this time. One of the ways that we lift each other up and combine all of this and what's on our hearts is by singing together. So if you would join me now as Pax plays the song of prayer, Lord, listen to your children praying. Let's lift up all that is on our hearts and all that's been shared.
Listen to your children.
Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Send us love, send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Friends, we are going to continue now as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. So I invite you in this moment to prepare for that time. If you have elements set aside, you can bring them now to this space. And we're going to be in this time of communion together. And we trust and know that though we are scattered physically, that the Lord works in mysterious ways and can bring us together into this powerful sacrament of communion with God and with one another and with Christ, even as we're physically separated from each other. So if you would bring your elements now and prepare them, and we are going to sing together as we come to the table. So remember to just the words that we always say as we come to the table that is now, we imagine and know is God's table, it's not our table, and we are invited to God's table. No matter who we are, what we've done, where we've come from, we are invited into this sacrament, into this time of communion with God. The risen Christ is the host, and he bids us to be present here where we are and to receive the gift of Christ's presence in our lives. So let us sing now, Come to the Table of Grace.
Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace. This is God's table, it's not yours or mine. Come to the table of grace.
In your kitchens, if you're in your kitchen, your living room, bedroom, wherever you are, will you join me and rest your hands lightly upon the elements that are in front of you as we set them aside, and let us ask God's blessing upon these elements. We give you thanks, Holy God, for calling forth creation and forming us from the dark earth and with the breath of your being. We bless you for your continual love and care for every creature. We praise you for forming us in your image and calling us to be your people. Send your spirit of life and love, power and blessing upon every table where we share in this feast. May we know communion with you, Holy God, communion with Jesus Christ, communion with creation, communion with one another, even in this virtual setting. May this bread be broken and gathered in love, and this cup poured out as a pouring out of hope and restoration in our lives. We pray this in the name of our friend and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and giving thanks for it, he broke it. And sharing it with his disciples, he said, "This is my body, it is broken for you. Every time you eat this bread, think of me, remember me." In the same way, he also took the cup, and after supper, he gave thanks for it. And pouring it out, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is the cup of forgiveness and mercy. Every time you drink, remember me." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And come again, he will. So in our many places, let us now receive the body of Christ, the bread of life, that is broken for you. Let's eat. And let us now, in our many places, receive the cup of life, the cup of forgiveness and mercy. Let's drink now. Let us sing together, Holy, 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 as we celebrate. Let us pray. Spirit of Christ, you have blessed our tables and our lives. May the eating of this meal give us courage to speak faith and act love in our homes, in the streets, and wherever we go in your precious world. And may the drinking of this cup renew our hope and increase our love for one another and creation. O God, wrap your hopeful presence around all whose bodies, spirits, and hearts need love and restoration. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Will you join me now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us with whatever words and language feel most comfortable to you at this time, or you can use the version that is in front of you on your screen. Let us pray together. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Let the seed of freedom awake and flourish. Let the deep roots nourish. Let the tall stalks rise. O healing river, send down your waters. Skies. Oh.
Amen. Thank you. As we, first of all, I just am realizing that there was one other prayer that came in that I just want to lift up. I'd like us to hear that. I think it came in after we closed that time. But from Ken Gritter, last week at this time, Martha and I were in South Carolina for the funeral of Martha's oldest brother, Jody. It was a sad occasion initially, but turned into a celebration. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you, Ken, for lifting that up. We will be in prayer as well for you. I wanted to leave us here as we go. Hopefully, if you can stay with us for a few minutes as we greet each other after the service, you are invited to do that. We'll leave the meeting open. But I want to remind you just of our of a few things as you leave this week. And that is to remember that you owe no one anything except to love. And that call of love on our lives is always and ever before us. And let us remember that call and be specific about it. Challenge ourselves to ask each other and ourselves, what does that mean for me this today, this week? What does that call mean? And let us do that work of love together with Jesus as our guide and with the Holy Spirit as our accomplice and our ever-present help. So go in peace to serve God and one another. Amen. Peace be with you.